Welcome to Anchor Bible Church. I'm Jamie, the pastor. Today we're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter 28, about the witch of Endor, 1 Samuel 28. Some people come to different understandings of Scripture here, and one of the key points is, who is Samuel here? Samuel had died. Did he come back from the dead? Is that something that God's doing? Or is it something maybe Samuel in disguise, the devil in disguise? Is this something the devil's doing? And so we'll have to look at some things here. If you have not already checked out the introduction to this, it's worthwhile because we look at some Bible passages and some definitions of terms that will be helpful to understanding this passage. And by the way, if you found these audio messages helpful, why not send a link to someone so you can spread that around and other people can help and understand God's words better, because we live in difficult times and only the Bible can help us out during this time. So 1 Samuel 28 verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight with Israel. And Achish said unto David, Know thou assuredly that thou shalt go out with me to battle, thou and thy men." So remember, Daniel has gone over to the Philistines. Well, and traditionally, that's where actually the Gaza Strip was. Over on the coast of Israel, the Philistines was there, although they did settle in other places as well, but that's kind of the predominant place of them. So David was running from Saul. David was God's anointed king, but Saul was still in office, so David was in training, so to speak. And so here we see that David had to go over with the Philistines to work, or that's what he chose to do, and to live amongst them, so Saul didn't attack them, because Saul was afraid of the Philistines. So David was working with them in some respect, he and his army, a small army of men that he had. Verse 2 says, "And David said to Achish, Surely thou shalt know that what thy servant can do. And Achish said to David, Therefore will I make thee keeper of mine head forever." So the king over in that area of the Philistines, liked David, and David was helpful to him. And so he thought, well, we'll go into battle together, and we'll work together. So that was the situation. And so the Philistines were going to go against Israel. But in the meantime, Samuel had died. It says in verse 3, "Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him." They were grieved that he had died. He was loved in Israel. "And buried him in Ramah, even his own city." That was his hometown. So we know that Samuel actually died, because there was actual people that actually grieved for him, and he was actually buried. And I know that's simple to say, but so what is happening to Samuel? Where did he go? Where did he go? Is he going to come back again? So that's the question that's going to happen. In the other part of verse 3, it says, "And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land." So that was a good thing that Saul had done. So Saul was not a good king, but he did some good things while he was king of Israel. And not everything that he did was bad, but overall, he was going away from the Lord and disobedient unto the Lord. So he put out those that had familiar spirits, those who were channeling with devils and demons, and the wizards out of the land. Get out of Israel. You're not supposed to be here. So, well, we also saw that they should have been stoned, but at least he did something with them. He didn't let them stay around. But verse 4 tells us, 1 Samuel 28, "And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa." And that's up north near the city of Jezreel, Gilboa is. And so they're well north of Jerusalem, I should say, up towards Galilee, maybe not quite up to the Sea of Galilee, but anyway, north of Jerusalem a ways. And so, you know, it's kind of like from before, is that the Philistines would camp their army on one side, and Israel would be camped on the other side, and neither of them was attacking just yet, but they hadn't engaged in warfare and battle and fighting yet. But there they are. They're prepared. They're ready to go. "And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid and his heart greatly trembled. He saw, well, that's a lot of men. That's a great army. And he got afraid. He got afraid. Well, what the Lord had told Israel to do under Moses and Joshua, go in and fight and conquer the land, conquer these people, kill these people. And that's what they were supposed to do. Well, remember, under Joshua, the Lord had told him, be strong and of good courage. Be very courageous. Have a strong heart. Well, this is not what Saul's doing. Saul is afraid. In a sense, he's not courageous, but he's cowardly. And he's concerned. He doesn't have God's strength in his heart. And so he's very afraid, greatly trembled. So the first thing that we need to notice here, or one of the things, is that when the Lord works, people have faith in him and his words, and then they walk that way, and they carry out his commands and his words. Fear and faith don't go together. So we see that that is probably not of the Lord of what Saul is doing, or else he would be having faith and he'd be courageous like other men and women are in the Bible. One other thing that we need to notice here in verse 3, I don't think it's a coincidence. It's that Samuel was dead, and the term familiar spirits are introduced both here in the same verse, verse 3. Samuel was dead, and what does a familiar spirit do? It tries to go contact the dead. So it's a key verse setting up what's going on here. Because what happened to Samuel is not the same as what's happening with the familiar spirit, you see. And there's no firm connection, and it's already set up here. The words are set there and connected together, but there's two different things that are happening. One's of God. Samuel went to paradise, you could say, with the Lord there. And the familiar spirit is not of the Lord, not with the Lord. And so there's something that's set up there already. So verse 5 tells us, when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart was greatly trembled. Verse 6, and when Saul inquired of the Lord, all Lord, all capitals here, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital E, Jehovah, God's personal name, if you will. No, there's no mistaken on who is being quiet here. The Lord, Jehovah, the Lord answered him not. So, you know, Saul's praying and asking of the Lord, and the Lord is quiet. He's silent. He's not answering. Saul's greatly distressed. He's trembled. He's afraid, and God is not answering him. How did the Lord not answer? Lord answered him not, neither by dreams and vision. That's the old name for a prophet, was a seer, someone who saw dreams and visions. Saul didn't get any of those. And Saul was a prophet at one time, or prophesied at one time, we should say. Nor by Urim. And so that was one of the things that was on the priest and on a priest's clothing. And perhaps these stones that would light up. And maybe a yes or no answer. So the Lord did not answer that way as he had at other times to other people. Nor by prophets. And that's a key thing. It's because Samuel is a prophet. And if the Lord is not answering by a prophet, and Samuel is a prophet, then the Samuel that we see later on is not the real Samuel, because he's a real prophet and he's really a prophet. See, so that's a key connection there as well. So the Lord's not answering Saul. So how whatever comes up later on is not of the Lord. It's not the Lord's answer. And so we see in verse 7, then Saul said unto his servant, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, a witch, and so that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. Well, I thought he kicked them all out of the land, booted them out of all the land. Well, there was at least one still in the land, and the government knew about her. And so there was still one around. the woman at Endor. So we would say that was a witch, one who was trying to, or not just trying to, it looks like that she had contacted evil spirits and is using those evil spirits for communication and for spiritual things, spiritual advice. Well, God is a spirit. We need to look to God. We need not and should not ever look to the devil for advice, but look to God. We have his words. We have the words of the Spirit, the words of Christ, the words of God in the Bible, and we need to read those and to heed those. So God is not answering Saul, so said basically Saul saying, I'm going to go to the devil. I want to go to God's arch enemy, his adversary, Satan, and I want to go and seek counsel of that. So we can see God's dealing here with Saul, that Saul does not have a heart after God like David does. Saul had already, at different times, rejected God's words, did not obey God's words, did not carry out God's words. And so now he's going to look for other words, words from a devil, words from perhaps the devil. Well, we know that the devil is the father of lies. He's the first liar, and whenever he speaks, he lies. So whatever advice or counsel they're going to get from this woman at Endor through a demon or a familiar spirit is not going to be of the Lord. Verse 8 says, and Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment or clothes, and he went and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. A lot of bad things happen at night. Look in the scripture. And he said, I pray thee, or earnestly ask thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit. Divine is that the channeling or the requesting or the, divine or divinity refers to God. So it's here you are looking to an evil spirit, a demon, putting that spirit in place of the Holy Spirit, the Holy God, not God, the divine God, but divining some other God, the God of this world. Divine unto me the familiar by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up whom I shall name unto thee. And so Saul knows what he's doing, and it's not a good thing. It's a thing prohibited in Scripture, and we already read several verses, and Saul had the same verses in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, etc., and he refused to obey God's word. So Saul is at a low point, if not the low point, in his spiritual condition, in his spiritual life here at this night. And so the woman says in verse 9, and the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Therefore, then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? And she's saying, don't you know that this is prohibited? It's illegal in our land. And not only, she didn't go back to the Bible and say, you know what, God's prohibited this, and I refuse to do that. The Bible says, thus saith the Lord, because this is what's in Scripture. Everybody in Israel knows the Bible, and the Bible says it's wrong. Now it goes back to the governmental authority, Saul, who is not following the Bible, not following God. Well, Saul has made it prohibited, and so that's her authority there. Probably filling the water, filling things out, testing the water, seeing like, okay, well, this man is coming to me. If he really wants to do something illegal, I'll be able to know that and then proceed, especially if she gets paid for it as well. So verse 10 says, because the punishment is death. So the familiar... Those who were the familiar spirits already, it says that they were supposed to be stoned, but here we see that she's afraid of Saul at this point. Verse 10 says, and Saul swore to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, here he is swearing by Jehovah, the very one who he is already disobedient against, the one who is already not carrying out the words of the Lord. As the Lord liveth, there shall be no punishment happen to thee for this thing. I won't, you know, he didn't say who he was at this point, but he's not going to punish her or turn her in to anybody who will. Verse 11 goes on, then said the woman, whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel. he wants to talk to Samuel. Nobody else is speaking to him. And maybe I can bring up Samuel from the dead. Well, that's a wrong plan of action. We're going to find out that's not a good thing to do. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. Then the woman spake to Saul, saying, why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. So notice this. Samuel, the word Samuel and deceived are in the same sentence here, the same verse. First of all, she was deceived by not knowing it was Saul. So if she was deceived by a physical human in front of her, don't you think it would be that she could be deceived seeing something else when she saw Samuel? Maybe if she didn't recognize Saul, how does she know it was really Samuel? And I don't believe that she did recognize who Samuel was. And some people say, well, see, the Bible says it was Samuel. Well, what the Bible says is when the woman saw Samuel. So whatever she saw, she thought it was Samuel. So the Bible does not lie. God does not lie, obviously. And the Bible is truth. But the Bible records lies. It records when people lie. For example, Samuel is here, but Satan said, the devil said in the Garden of Eden to Eve, thou shalt not surely die. You're not really going to die, are you? And God knows that you're going to be wise and like as gods. And so he lied to her, but what Scripture says, it records that lie, but the whole context is that that God's not endorsing it or saying that. It's showing us, compared to Scripture, that what Satan did was a lie. I believe a similar situation is here, is that Samuel is there, probably a demon, a devil, in the disguise of Samuel for her at this point. And so what she sees is not the real Samuel. And there's a number of reasons that we can come to that sound conclusion. First of all, she was deceived with Saul. Secondly, she probably deceived with Samuel. It's not the real Saul. Well, it's not the real Samuel either. And notice this. And the king said unto her, be not afraid, for what sawest thou? What did you see? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. Well, first of all, we know that there's not many gods, plural. There's only one God, singular. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. Saul, you're of Israel. You should know that there's only one God. But who are these gods? The lowercase g here, not the God, not Jehovah, you see, but it's gods, plural. And so we know it's not the God, not the holy God. And then ascending out of the earth. Well, we know that God is in heaven, and he descends to the earth. It's like when he was looking at the Tower of Babel, he had to come down, stoop down, descend down to look, to see what was going on there. Christ descended to the earth so that he could do his great work on the cross of Calvary for us. And so whatever comes out of the earth is earthly. Whatever comes from heaven is heavenly. This is not the God from heaven. This is a demon coming from the earth, in a sense. It's something from the earth. It's not a good thing. The God of this world is in charge here. So we could see that obviously at this point, whatever she saw was not of Jehovah. Verse 14 says, and he said unto her, what form is he of? What does Samuel look like? Does he look like what I remembered him to be? And she said, an old man cometh up. And he was covered with a mantle, you know, the wrap, the shawl that a prophet would wear on earth. And Saul perceived, thought, he understood that it was Samuel. And he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. For a few things in here, throw up some alarms that, well, perhaps this is not the real Samuel. For example, he's an old man. Well, when someone dies and goes to be with the Lord, we understand that perhaps that one does not age anymore. Age and becoming old has something to do with death and dying and the curse of the earth. And, you know, Adam, in a sense, didn't age, didn't become old until after the curse, after the fall. And so the old man is someone who is subject to the fall, someone who's subject to these things. So after Samuel died, he was no longer subject to the curse of the earth, of aging and dying. And so that shows us a clue here. If he looks like an old man, gray hair, stooped over, maybe shriveled up a little bit, can't move very, very fast. You see, even the angels in Scripture, when they looked like a strong man, Gabriel, the strong man. It looked like a strong man that I saw at the tomb of what the people said at the tomb of Christ or Michael or Gabriel or you know, an angel did that. He was a strong man. Well, this was perhaps a demon showing that he looked like an old man, the opposite. And remember when Moses and Elijah. We understand also, you know, in Abraham's bosom that there was a period of time when Christ rose from the grave and ascended. He led captivity captive, and now people who die are absent from the body don't go to Abraham's bosom, but present with the Lord. And so there could be a clear distinction there. But even so, prior to Christ's death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, Moses and Elijah appeared on earth. And so when Moses and Elijah appeared on earth, they didn't appear, and this was, you know, at the time of Abraham's bosom, prior to that later time, absent from the body, present with the Lord, if you will. We see that they appeared in such a way that they were more glorious. They were stunning. It doesn't describe them, but it does describe Christ and his, you know, his face had the appearance of the sun, and his clothes were white. And so he had a little bit of taste of his glory, like what he would have in heaven and when he comes back at the second coming. But yet, we see also that Moses and Elijah must have appeared something like that, because Peter said, Lord, should we make three tabernacles, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah? Because they must have looked beautiful and brilliant and glorious to some respect, or Peter wouldn't have said that. You know, in other words, should we worship all three? Everybody looks great and glorious at this time. And so so here we can see just from this verse also that it's probably not Samuel because he's an old man. And not only that, and Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground, and he bowed himself. And he it's like if he's giving homage or worship to Samuel, who's a man, a created man, instead of the God, the Lord God. And you notice this is just the opposite of what happened when John was seeing the angel in Revelation. He says, you know, I fell down at his feet to worship him, fell down at his feet, you know, bowed down there. And the angel said, stand up, don't worship me, worship God. So a good angel, when someone bowed down before him, said, don't worship me, refused to accept worship from someone, said, worship God. But here, when this, let's just say it's a demon pretending as an imposter of being Samuel, he didn't say, oh, get up, Saul, don't worship me, don't bow down before me. So there's another clue, another insight that this is probably not the real Samuel, the real godly man, the real prophet. He's an imposter there. We're going to have to stop here at chapter 14. We're going to have to look at the next few verses and then come to our conclusion in this next session. So we're going to have to stop here, and I trust that you'll want to join us for the next section of The Witch at Endor, 1 Samuel 28. Thank you for listening.